ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة إن الله مع الصابرين. صدق الله العظيم. Respected ulama ikram, brothers and sisters at the madrasa, we have been receiving so many calls with regards to this solar eclipse that I decided we should clear the air with regards to the eclipse. That what is the duty of a Muslim or a mu'min when it comes to the eclipse of the sun or the moon, and all the superstitious beliefs that people hold with regards to eclipse, how important it is that we should clear our minds of such superstitious beliefs. Otherwise, our iman can be at stake. So very briefly, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his main issues did not survive. Rasul Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam's main issues, his sons, did not survive. Sayyidina Ibrahim radiyallahu ta'ala an, one of the sons of Rasul Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he also passed away when he was 1.5 years of age. He passed away in the 10th Hijri, and on the day that he passed away, the solar eclipse took place. Now, Rasul Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam was also very grieved at the loss of his beloved son, which was natural. He even teared when somebody asked him that, "Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you are tearing." He said, "The eyes are tearing, but the tongue says only that which is haq. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un." Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam fulfilled the both rights, the right of the love of the child and the right of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. That is what we term as kamal. If a person laughs when his son passes away, or his wife dies, or his family member dies, and says that that is my kamal, that I laugh and I smile when somebody dies in my family, so then we will say that that person, unless he is sahib-e-hal, that is in a different state, or he is majnoon. But if he is a person who is balanced, a person who knows the Quran, the Sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and the Sharia, and if he is a normal person, then he will have the grief in his heart. That is natural. So the eyes can tear, but the tongue must not say that Allah ta'ala, na'uzu billah, he didn't find anybody else's child, he only found my child. This child, so much of hopes I had that the child is going to grow up and then maintain and support me, and Allah Ta'ala took this child away in this age. Now this type of thing is haram. But that natural grief, if it brings tears to the person's eyes, it is not sinful, it is not haram. As long as there is no wailing and screaming and shouting, it is not haram. In fact, it is the sunnat of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was the closest to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. If he teared and he said, "Ya Ibrahim, inna bi firaqika la mahzunun." Oh Ibrahim, upon your departure, upon your passing away, we are very grieved. So there's nothing wrong with that. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam fulfilled the rights of both. The right of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala that he is making sabr on it, and the right of the child that he is tearing. But the issue here is that it happened on the day, the eclipse took place on the day that Hazrat Ibrahim passed away. So the people, many of them began to say that this eclipse took place because of the passing away of this beloved son of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The sun has also covered, so to say, a dark veil over its face in mourning over the loss of Rasul-e Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam's son. That is what some people thought. Since it had happened for the first time here in Madina Sharif, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam himself was very, very excited. He was very much concerned. He was full of anxiety. And Rasul-e Pak sallallahu alaihi wasalam hastened towards Salat. He rushed towards Salat. He went immediately to the masjid and started making a long Salat. I'm not going to go into the details. There are over 15 reports in Bukhari Sharif and so many others in other Hadith Sharifs, detailed incidents. But just to give you the gist of those Hadiths and to take the lessons from those Hadiths, that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, this was his habit, that the moment anything concerned him, anything worried him, the first thing that he thought of was to put his forehead before Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala and beg of him. That was the first thing that he did. Anything that was of concern, إِذَا حَزَبَهُ أَمْرٌ فَزِعَ إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, the moment anything gave him concern and worry, immediately he hastened towards salat. Because Allah ta'ala had revealed the verse of the Quran Sharif, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ. Oh, ye believers, seek the help of Allah with patience and with salat. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam left a lesson for the ummah that everything is happening with the will of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So if you are going through any bad patch in your life, if you are having any difficulties in your life, if you are going through any problems in your life, then first you should turn towards Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, beg of him, seek forgiveness for your sins, plead to him, ask him to change the condition. Taqdeer is in the hands of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Nobody has forced Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala to do anything, and nobody can force Allah ta'ala to do anything. And taqdeer, we say, it is something that is final. The decision is made by Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala indeed, but the one who has made the decision is Allah ta'ala himself. So taqdeer cannot be overpowering Allah. Taqdeer is a makhluk, it's a creation of Allah. Taqdeer is a creation of Allah. It is the decision of Allah ta'ala. So if we say that after Allah ta'ala made a decision, finished, that is the end of it, he cannot do anything, na'uzu billah, then it will mean that taqdeer now is overpowering Allah. So Allah ta'ala is the creator. Allah ta'ala has made a decision, and sometimes taqdeer means that this person, if he is going to do this, that means he's going to turn towards me with dua. In his problems and difficulties, if he is going to turn towards me with dua, then I will remove that difficulty. So that turning towards Allah ta'ala is also taqdeer, and it's a decision of Allah ta'ala too. So we must first thing turn towards Allah ta'ala. Here the moment we have any problem, if it's financial, then the first thing we think of Mr. Smith, Mr. John, the bank managers. That is the first thing we think of. Whereas first turn towards Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, ask him, beg of him, tell, oh Allah, you find a way out for me. And then explore the halal avenues, whatever Allah ta'ala has made halal, whatever sources Allah ta'ala has made halal. Seek assistance in the form of loan from somebody without interest. But first turn towards Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Then Allah ta'ala will put it into the hearts of people and things will open out. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, this was his condition, that immediately he hastened towards salat. So much so that when the breeze was strong, he hastened towards salat. If he saw clouds in the sky, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, before him were the nations of the past, that how Allah ta'ala destroyed some of them with rain, with floods, how Allah ta'ala destroyed some of them with the wind, how Allah ta'ala destroyed some of them with other things, with the screech and with the scream, how Allah ta'ala destroyed the nations of the past was before Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. So when he looked at the clouds, immediately his mind went on to those nations of the past. Cressida ND 37186 and Maxima 28782, somebody wants to come out, NT 28782, ND 37186. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, when he looked at the clouds, when we look at the clouds, if it is a hot day, we'll say, mashallah, it's going to rain just now. And indeed, it could be that after a few minutes, or after a few hours, you could get rain. But Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam could see beyond that. His sight went beyond that, that those clouds can be rahmat for some, and it can be azab for some. Those winds can be rahmat for some, and it can be azab for some people. Immediately he saw that. Therefore, one person in the time of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, the breeze was beautiful breeze, a very strong breeze was blowing, so the person cursed the breeze, cursed the wind. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, do not curse the wind, do not curse the breeze, the strong breeze that's blowing, don't curse that, because it is blowing with the hukam of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. It is a rahmat for some, and it is brings azab for some people. So turn towards Allah. And then he said that when a person curses, if that person, if that thing that he has cursed, or that person that he has cursed, is not deserving of that curse, then that curse hits back at the same person. What a dangerous thing. So many times mothers are cursing, parents are cursing, brothers and sisters are cursing, friends are cursing, everybody is just cursing. But if those people that we are cursing are not deserving of that curse, because that person is not guilty of what we think that person is guilty of, due to some rumor, we take it for granted that this person did jadu on me, whereas that person is totally innocent of that, and now this person curses that person, that person did jadu. I have explained in some other talk of mine that there are many things that we must not believe very, very easily. The shaitan and jinnat, they also, they complicate matters, they speak a lot of lies, and they can show you things that are not really taking place. And then we will believe that that person put that woman into the trance, or he put that man in the trance, and in the trance he saw his brother-in-law, he saw his sister-in-law, he saw his mother, she saw her mother-in-law doing jadu. Now this person believes it because it was in the trance, whereas it was the effect of those jinnats and the shayateen. Now this person, on the evidence that he has, he starts cursing. So if those people are not deserving of that curse, then it hits back, and this person in his lifetime will then definitely get afflicted with jadu. Then that person will cry and will not remember to what happened and say, why did this happen? So you must be very careful. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, do not curse, because if those things are not deserving of curse, it comes back. But the fact is that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that don't curse the wind, don't curse the breeze, because it is happening with the will of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So this eclipse also, when it took place in the time of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, Rasulullah Paak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam immediately rushed to the masjid. Hazrat Mughira ibn Shubah radiyallahu ta'ala an, Hazrat Musa ibn Ashari radiyallahu ta'ala an, Hazrat Aisha radiyallahu ta'ala anha, so many people have reported. There are some detailed hadiths, some short and brief, but the essence and gist of all those hadiths is this, that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam made a very, very long salat. And he explained to the people after the salat that the eclipse of the moon or the sun does not take place due to the birth of someone or due to the death of someone. The death and the birth of a person does not bring about the eclipse. The eclipse is a sign of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. These two are signs of Allah, of his many, many signs. Like how we have in the Quran Sharif, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَنْ خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمًا. Regarding marriage, Allah Ta'ala says that this is also a sign of Allah Ta'ala, creating mates for you from amongst yourselves, and all the rest of it that is given in that ayat. So like that, Allah has mentioned many of his signs. So he said this is also a sign of his. It does not happen because of somebody's death or somebody's birth. Meaning that my son Ibrahim radiyallahu ta'ala an, who has passed away, it is not his death that has brought about this eclipse. It was coincidental that it happened on the day that he passed away. But don't believe that it has happened because of his death and that the sun has gone into mourning. There's nothing of that sort. It is a natural phenomena, but it is a sign of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And at that time, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, engage yourself when the eclipse takes place. It is a sign of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And according to the hadith, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was so concerned and so worried as if the day of doom has arrived. That was the fikr and the concern of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. The one who was the closest to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. He who has more closeness of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala fears also that much. The one who is closer to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, he also has that much fear. Because that is natural. The person who loves someone, he hates, he dislikes to displease that beloved, or he fears to displease that beloved. And knowing that everything is in the control of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, to please him is the duty of a believer. And if the person is displeasing him, that means he hasn't recognized his Allah. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he made a very, very long salat. According to some riwayat, whilst he was in qiyam also, we are told that when we are in qiyam, then we must not bend. But in that particular salat, they said he was going forward and coming back. He was going forward and coming back. Very long salat. He read Surah Baqarah in the first rakat and Surah Ali Imran in the second rakat. Now the Sahabas, who was used to read whole Quran Sharif, but it must have been a very hot day on that particular morning, and afterwards the eclipse took place, but the heat was still there. So they were reading Salat, and Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, and it's a day Salat, it's not night time when it's cool. So according to the riwayat, some of them even collapsed. Such a long Salat Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam made, and such a long ruku and such a long sajda in both rakats, that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's companions, some of them, they could not stand and they fell down. Whereas Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's habit was that when he was making imamat, man amma qawman fal yukhaffif, the person who is making imamat, then he must make light namaz. He must make it short according to the sunnah length that has been given. The person must try and make it with that, because amongst in the congregation there will be people who are sick, who are weak, who cannot stand long. So therefore Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam gave consideration to all these things. Not that just because the person got first time an opportunity to make Eid namaz and it's very hot, so he says, let's make the best of this today. So he reads such a long surah that in the heat the people collapse. It happened in Kanpur, in India, that one imam who was the imam of the Eidgah, he was not present. Aur Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah ne iske qisse ko nakal kiya hai. He was not present on that day. So they found another imam and they put him forward. So this imam thought, once in a lifetime opportunity, Eidgah, where will I get again thousands of people? So it was really hot to it. And he recited Surah Hujurat and the other surahs, and by the time he finished his salat, people were spewing and some people were collapsing. So they told this imam that, what kind of a namaz you read? So he said, Jahannam ki aag kaise bardasht karoge agar ye aag bardasht nahi kar. So he said, from now you're training them for Jahannam ki aag. So if that person was an imam who knew his masail, then at such a time he should have made the salat light. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was very considerate. But in this particular occasion, he recited a very long surah in the first and in the second, and long ruku and long sajda. However, if you have to look at the hadiths, then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is reported to have said that engage yourself in zikr, engage yourself in tahmid, takbir, tahleel, subhanallah, alhamdulillah, la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar. Engage yourself in that. Engage yourself in Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam engaged himself in dua. He engaged himself in istighfar. So if we have to put all those hadiths together, our ulama have said that because of our weakness in these times, then you can make the salat a little shorter. Don't read Surah Baqarah and Ali Imran these days, because if the sahabas collapse, yeah, we'll have the whole masjid, everybody collapsing. So we will have a problem. So we will make it, the namaz must be made, you don't have to read that length. However, make a long namaz, what the people can tolerate or bear, and after that engage in dua, in zikr, in tilawat, in istighfar. This is the gist of all those hadiths, that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam made a lengthy namaz, and he made dua, he made istighfar, and the congregation also with him. It was a salat with congregation. So the ulama have said that this salat with congregation, it is sunnat, it is not farz, it is not wajib, it is sunnat. And it is the duty of Muslims that they must try and emulate Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's example, yeah, sure. That when there is an eclipse of the sun, then don't run outside and look at the eclipse. Don't go outside with binoculars and other things and have a good time, enjoyment and entertainment looking at the eclipse. Because that is the way of the kuffar and the mushrikeen, that they enjoy themselves. It is entertainment for them to watch the eclipse. The Muslims at that time must engage themselves in istighfar, tawbah. The women also in the home must engage in istighfar, in tawbah, in dua. So this salat, it is made with congregation. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, because it was a morning salat, according to some riwayat, it is permissible to read that salat, the qiraat aloud. However, according to Imam Hanifa rahmatullah and others, they say that nafil salat or sunnat salat, which is read during the day, then their qiraat is silent. Therefore, the imam will make silent qiraat. So this salat, which is read with congregation, there is no azan for it, there is no iqama, there is no takbir. No azan, no takbir, and there is no khutbah also. Two rakats of salat. So inshallah we will be having that here on Tuesday morning. for those people for whom it is convenient, you can come here and join the Salat. We will be having about half an hour, 20 to 25 minutes of Salat, and thereafter for about 15-20 minutes engage yourself in Zikr Tuha, and as your time is up to go to your work, then you can keep moving. But it is not farz, not wajib, so do not look down upon anybody that does not participate. Yes. But we should look forward to it, because istighfar and tawbah, which Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, a sinless Nabi, is making, then how much more we should be making? How much more we should be making? Imagine a sinless, masoom Nabi, but he is so worried and so concerned, Allah Ta'ala's azab must not come down. Because we know the natural phenomena, we know why the eclipse takes place, but those are scientific things. But if Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala causes it to stop there, the earth comes there and stops, and it is total eclipse now, and it remains there life for years, what can we do? Does the moon and the sun, do they just move on their own? It is all with the qudrat and the power of Allah Ta'ala and with the hukam of Allah Ta'ala. And whenever Allah Ta'ala wants it to stop, it will stop. So if Allah Ta'ala causes it to stop, what can we do? Imagine the what suffering we will go through. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he could see the qudrat of Allah behind everything. That is what we have to learn. That there are natural causes, but who made it natural?
Allah.
It is Allah Ta'ala who makes things happen, but we say it's natural, natural. Everything natural causes. Behind the drought, behind the earthquake, behind the storms, behind everything we say natural causes. But it is Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's power, Allah Ta'ala's qudrat, and they are Allah Ta'ala's signs. So when we see these signs of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, whenever you see anything like that, meaning whether it is eclipse or anything else that causes concern, whether it is very strong breeze or whether dark clouds or anything else that causes concern, then he said, turn towards Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, seek forgiveness for your sins, and make dua to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. And he said, shall I not show you, or shall I not teach you a dua, which if you make, then Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will accept that dua and remove those calamities and remove those problems of yours. That means in other matters. And he said, that is the dua of Zunnoon. That means Hazrat Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam, when he made the dua in the stomach of the whale, La ilaha illa anta subhanak inni kuntu minaz zalimin. La ilaha illa anta. There is none worthy of worship but you, O Allah. Or the Aashiqana tarjuma, Tere alawa mere khuda hai hi kon hamara. That you are the only one for us. So we worship you alone. Inni kuntu minaz zalimin. I am of the unjust ones. I am of the wrongdoers. Whereas he was a Nabi of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, and he didn't do anything wrong. It was an error of judgment. But still, the higher the status of the person, the more he thinks that I'm insignificant, I'm worthless. What have I got to my credit? With a little bit of ibadat, zikr and tilawat, he does not go and look into the mirror that how much of noor came on his face. We make 2 rakat of namaz and we want to see how much of noor came. We bust and crack all the mirrors after that. Here, these people, the more ibadat they make, the more zikr they make, the more tilawat they make, the more they think that, Ya Allah, we haven't been able to do justice. Even if we keep our forehead on the ground all our life, O Allah, we will not be able to do justice for just one ni'mat of yours, which is the fresh air that we breathe in. In ta'uddu ni'matallahi la tuhsuha. And how can we really make ibadat which is worthy of presentation before Allah Ta'ala? So on the one hand, we make shukr that, oh Allah, it is your, we make shukr of yours. We are grateful to you that you gave us the tawfiq to make this namaz. You gave us the tawfiq to make zikr. You gave us the tawfiq to make tilawat. Don't be ungrateful also rejecting this ni'mat, because it's also a ni'mat that Allah Ta'ala gave the tawfiq to make it. One person told Haji Imdadullah Rahmatullah Alayhi that I take the name of Allah, Allah, but nothing is happening. And I take it with empty heart. He said, but shukar karo ke Allah Ta'ala ne zikr ki tawfiq to di.
Subhanallah.
Balki ye samjho ke jab ek dafa Allah qubool ho gaya, tab hi dobara tawfiq hoti hai. After Allah Ta'ala has accepted your one Allah, then only you are given the tawfiq to take the second Allah. So even if there was not much sincerity in your heart, but probably because you made it in a congregation in which there were so many other people with sincere hearts. So just like how you buy a pocket of potatoes, or you buy a pocket or a tray of tomatoes, then if there are a few rotten ones in there, then you don't go and take that out. You buy a pocket, then you take everything with. So here, our rotten ones, with the sincerity of some others, inshallah, Allah Ta'ala accepts that too.
Subhanallah.
So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, He is forgiving, He is merciful, He is kind. And although what we make is not worthy of presentation, but we make shukr and say, Ya Allah, no matter, it is not worthy of presentation, but you are Kareem, so accept it with your shan of Kareemi. But they always consider themselves insignificant, no matter how much they make. I've mentioned this, I think, in some other majlis, that people always ask this question. They say, then how can you really do anything? If you're going to consider yourself as worthless, insignificant, then in this world you won't be able to do anything because you're looking at the negative side all the time. And you must sign, and everybody, the psychologists all tell you that you must be always positive. So there is a misunderstanding. It does not mean that you look negative all the time. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an, I explained, Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala an, Hazrat Usman radiallahu an, Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an, Rasul Pak Rasam himself, how much they did. Yet Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an used to consider himself so insignificant, that with his patched clothes he was lying on the ground. And he used to go and he used to say that, Umar, you didn't even know how to graze the animal properly. And Allah ta'ala made you the Amirul Mumineen. But he was ruling over, as we have heard many times, more than 2/3 of the then known world. So thinking of himself being insignificant, did it prevent him from government over so many countries? So it does not mean that. In fact, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gives that person more courage, more himmat, more strength. We have seen all of our kabir, our buzrugs, our mashayikh, that in their old age, in their weakness, in their sickness, they consider themselves completely insignificant, worthless. They say, Ya Allah, we are not worthy of anything. But the work that they do, we cannot do in our good health. The writings of theirs, the khidmat of theirs, the service of theirs to the creation, to the makhluk of Allah, to His servants, their teaching, their ibadat, their zikr, their tilawat, their namaz, their waaz, their nasihat, in their old age, in the sickness. But we just wonder, where is that strength coming from? So that is when they consider themselves nothing, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala raises them and elevates them. So this eclipse, that is what it is all about. There are many other hadiths and many other things, but the main point is this, that we have to use this occasion to turn towards Allah ta'ala, to make istighfar, to make tawbah from our sins, and ask Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala to save us from calamities, from difficulties, from trials and from tests, like it came upon the people of the past. That is what it is. Now together with that, so many people have got superstitious beliefs, especially with regards to women folk who are expecting, that they must not hold the knife during the eclipse. So I told one brother, but if that wife of yours was supposed to cook biryani for that day or some other curry, then it means there'll be no wagar for that day, because she can't cut onions. What is she going to do? So that curry will be onionless. So there is no truth in this. It is just a superstitious belief that they cannot hold knife, they cannot do this, they cannot do that. The only thing they must do is engage zikr, tilawat, ibadat, and they can carry on with all the normal activities of life. There is no hard and fast rule that you cannot do this. The only thing that it is from medical aspect or science, that you should not look at the eclipse with naked eyes. It can affect the person's own sight, and it can even affect the baby that is going to be born. But that has got nothing to do with Sharia as such. That means if a person went outside and he looked at the sun when there was an eclipse, so we won't say that he committed haram and now there's so much of sin he committed. But if the effect, that it is just like the effect of so many other things. There's effect in everything. Allah Ta'ala has put effect in so many different things, like those people who are watching a lot of television. So if it's affecting their senses, and some of them are going mad, and some of their nerves are shattering, and little children especially, they are getting epileptic fits, and so many other things are happening. So now there is an effect in there. So in the same way, here there is an effect that if the person is going to look at the sun with naked eyes, then it will affect his sight, it could probably affect the sight of the child that's going to be born. But that is a different thing, it's not haram or halal issue there. But as far as this cutting of, or using the knife, or all the other things that they are in the form of superstitious beliefs, it has got nothing to do with Sharia, it has got nothing to do with deen. We should distance ourselves from such kind of beliefs. Not only that, even people say, for example, that if the black cat has to cross whilst you are driving and going to some program, so now you must turn around and come back. But I asked that person that if it's a 100,000 deal that you are about to do, and you know you're going to make 100,000 rand on this deal, then even if 10 black cats cross your path, you will still go. Some month you must not get married. Muharram, the tenth, there must be no nikahs, or in the Muharram month, or Safar month, there must be no marriages. Why? Because in Muharram, Hazrat Imam Hussein became martyred, so there must be no marriage. So what about business that time? Why don't they close the businesses also for the whole month of Muharram? So you can see anything that is against the Sharia, it won't be logical. That is the reason why I always say that even casually, don't be tempted to read the stars foretell. In the newspapers, the stars foretell. Some of us have got good iman, alhamdulillah, that we will not believe what is there. But believe me what I am telling you, that many of those who thought they had very strong belief, but after reading it there, they also were influenced. Many people got influenced. There are certain things that even casually, if you just have to read it, it will influence you. Especially those people who have given up watching television, the filthy films on television. But at one time they were addicted, all the soaps they were watching, and they knew every episode what has happened. Now they gave up. They sat in some majlis, they made tawbah, they made istighfar, now they gave up. Now what shaitan will say, well, you're not watching, but just read in the newspaper that what are they showing today, what they are showing tomorrow, and what next week. And the little comments that are there, the reviews. Shaitan in that way will take you back. So many have gone back just by that one casual glance once again at that newspaper. Brothers, I am telling you all these things because people are writing to me, they are telling me what has happened. And if a sheikh does not have his finger on the pulse, then he is not worthy of being made a sheikh. Wow. He must know the nafsaniyat of the people. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala makes use of us, we are nothing. But what I am telling you is the truth, that it is the experience of many people that when they did this, they went back again to the same thing. They got trapped again, although it was just a casual reading. So distance yourself. Once we have distanced yourselves, and once you have given it up, then don't even do that casual reading. And since these majlises are majlises of tawbah, and majlises to bring into our hearts that ruh and the spirit of Islam and Iman, and also to make us do those things that are pleasing to Allah and stay far away from those things which are haram and forbidden, and to make us bring into our hearts the sweetness of to get the taste of the sweetness of Iman. Therefore, I'm just mentioning to you, even though you may look, or we may look, very stupid, very foolish, outdated, no matter what kind of titles the people may give, and they will say that these people should be living in the camel age, or they should be living in Mars or somewhere else. But what I am telling you, brothers, if you are really interested in Islam, if we are really interested in Islam and reform and change, and if we really want that taste of Iman in our hearts, then listen to me very, very carefully, that at present our newspapers, I'm not saying it is haram, because sometimes we too have to catch up with some news here and there, so we buy the newspapers. But at present even the newspapers have become so filthy, and the pictures are so filthy and so dirty, that if Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam or his companions or any wali of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has to walk into our home and he has to pick up the newspaper, what will he think of our Islam and Iman? Will Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam will be happy to sit around there in our home to read that newspaper? So if we have to, because of business reasons or some other reason, we have to catch up with some news, in the first place don't become addicted, now and again casual reading. But when these newspapers come, especially when we have got young daughters in our home, we've got young sons, then where is the shame and the haya and the modesty of our parents gone? When they can leave those newspapers, filthy articles and filthy pictures, right in front of our young daughters to read. And when they read all those filthy things, and when they get caught up in those kind of actions and deeds, then we shed tears and we run around for taweezes. And we say, my son is lost and my daughter is lost, and she got trapped and involved and he got trapped and involved. Where are they getting these ideas from? If as pious people, so-called pious people, we have taken away the television out of our homes, then we have not still done something great. These newspapers that we bring, first thing, tear up those pictures. If you have to read it, tear up those pictures, even if it means every page there's a torn page. If you come to my house, and if you have to pick up the paper, if I had to buy one paper, then you will find that most of the pages it's torn. So I will look very stupid and foolish to the intelligent person, to the so-called intelligent person, to the intellectual of our time.
Wow.
Are we going to worry about the intellectuals of our time? The greatest intellectual was Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The greatest intellectuals were the Sahaba-i Kiram, Ridwanullah alayhim ajma'in. The greatest intellectuals are the Awliya-i Kiram and the Mashayikh-i Izam and the Ulama-i Haq. They are the intellectuals. They can see beyond what we can see. We are saying innocent pictures are there. What are we going to worry? Outside too they can see so many things. Yes, there are lots of things happening outside. There's casinos there's gambling dens there's zina there, there's prostitution quarters there, there's escort agencies there, everything is outside. But why bring it into the house? Does it mean everything filthy that's happening outside, we must allow it to happen inside our home too? That's why so many people, they say that we don't commit zina. Alhamdulillah, you don't commit zina. I ask them that if a person has to request your permission, I'm saying certain things very, very openly, because that's the only way islah can be made. That if a person has to phone us, we who have got televisions in our homes, or especially those who have got televisions in their homes, and they are watching all those filthy films all the time, or if they're not watching, their wives are watching, their wives not watching, their children are watching. If somebody has to phone now and say, my dear brother, I want to come with my girlfriend to your house and commit adultery there, in your home, will we allow it? If the person phones and says, I want to come and commit zina in your home, the person with weak iman too will say, what a filthy request you are making. And if you were near me, I would have pulled my trigger on you. And I would have bashed you. But yet that same person is prepared to allow 1,000 times zina on the television in his room.
Wow.
In his lounge, in his sitting room, in his bedroom. Some people have got in every room because they say the children, it must not disturb. You must have some modesty and haya. So give the children one in their room and we will have one in our room. So that we don't see what they are watching and they don't see what we are watching.
Allah.
Ah, my brothers. Allah, what people are suffering, what they are suffering, honestly I tell you, what they are suffering, ask me. I'm dealing with so many cases. Most of the sicknesses and diseases of our society, the generating force behind it, it germinates, the seeds germinate with that same filthy television that's there. And the newspapers are not far behind. So if you have daughters at home, if you have young children at home, then don't feed them with poison and with filth. Don't give them stool and urine.
Allah.
Brothers, Allah Ta'ala wants to give us sweetness of iman. He wants to give us his closeness. He wants to give us his muhabbat. He wants to give us the best of this world. He wants to give us peace of mind. He wants to give us contentment, satisfaction, happiness. Where are we running behind filth? What enjoyment is there? After 50 years, if somebody has to say, in 50 years of all your filthy activities of life, what have you now with you to show? We will have nothing to show but ill health, AIDS and diseases and sicknesses. And the Ahlullah, if somebody has to tell them that after 50 years of your zikr, tilawat, ibadat, pleasing Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, what have you got now? Then again they will say the same thing. شاہو کے سروں پر تاج گراں سے درد سا اکثر رہتا ہے شاہوں کے سروں پر تاج گراں سے درد سا اکثر رہتا ہے اور اہل وفا کے سینوں میں ایک نور کا دریا بہتا ہے. اللہم صلی اللہ سیدنا محمد وعلی آل سیدنا محمد مبارک وسلم. اے اللہ ہمیں احساس گناہ عطا فرما. اے اللہ گناہ کو آج کل ہم گناہ بھی نہیں سمجھ رہے. او اللہ we are not even considering sins anymore as sins. یا اللہ ہر گناہ سے ہماری حفاظت فرما. او اللہ protect us from all sins major or minor. او اللہ protect us from all sins. او اللہ sins are the major cause of all our problems. یا اللہ forgive us, forgive our parents, forgive our wives and children, forgive the entire ummat of Rasul Pakh صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. Ya Allah, bless us all with long life, with good health, with prosperity, with happiness, with satisfaction, with contentment, with tranquility, with harmony. Bless us with the best of dunya and akhirat. Give us plenty of halal, risk and sustenance. Safeguard us from everything that is haram and sinful and shame. اے میرے پیارے خدا ہم سب کی حفاظت فرما، یا اللہ ہمارے گھروں کو پاک اور صاف فرما، ہماری زندگیوں کو پاک اور صاف فرما، یا اللہ ہم کو حیا اور شرم نصیب فرما، یا اللہ دس اکلپس وچ از گوئنگ ٹو ٹیک پلیس، یا اللہ پروٹیکٹ اس فرام اینی ہارم، یا اللہ گیو اس آل دا بیسٹ آف دنیا اینڈ دا بیسٹ آف آخرت. ربنا آتینا فی الدنیا حسنہ وفی الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين. الحمد لله.